The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Tuesday, fifth day of March 2019, talking with the guy that I just absolutely love interviewing this guy, because I've never been able to stump him on air. I've never been able to ask a question, and Harley says, I don't know anything about that. Well-read, well-traveled individual from Executive Intelligence Review, Harley Schlanger. Harley, I'm looking at more of the numbers here on the economy, and I guess it's the most telling of all over a time period. You can look at an economy, you can do a snapshot of it, how's it doing today versus last week, last month. Well, for 13 years in a row, the final numbers for the 2018 are now in. We had a little governmental shutdown. They weren't processing information and putting it out to the public the way they should be, as if you can believe the information that the government gives you anyhow. But they finally brought the numbers in for 2018, and that was the 13th year in a row when the U.S. GDP growth was below 3%.
Mm-hmm.
It's stagnant. It's going nowhere. We're loaded up with debt. The banks aren't really serious about loaning any money. We've got 7 million Americans, as you mentioned, car loans. We've got 7 million Americans that don't know how to make the next payment on their car. We're in serious trouble here.
John, the GDP figure is telling in one way, but GDP is not really a good measure. A better measure is productivity and wages. And you mentioned this before. If people aren't getting wages to enable them to buy something, what does that do when your economy has tilted away from manufacturing to dependence on service and consumer items? And what we're seeing is stagnant wages, and we're now seeing productivity at negative rates. I bring this up because I'm sitting here in Germany, where we're seeing the same thing in Germany now. Germany was the engine of Europe from the late 1950s up to the present, and they could always count on Germany as a factor because of superior engineering technology, craftsmanship, machine tool capability. That's all eroding. German productivity was negative in the last quarter of 2018 for the first time since the end of World War II. And it's going to get worse because you have a government which is operating against the interests of the German people. They're more interested in protecting the post-Brexit City of London banking community, which means they have a zombie bank called Deutsche Bank, which should be put out of business, should be shut down, liquidated, and the depositors should get their money back, and the speculators should lose everything. Instead, they're trying to merge it with another zombie bank called Commerzbank. But the benefit of Commerzbank is that it's owned by the government. So under EU laws, European Union laws, the government can bail it out. So they're going to try to bail out a bank Deutsche Bank, which has $43 trillion in derivative obligations. It's been losing money. It's not even just low profit. It's losing money now for five straight quarters, even though they're doing everything they can to cut their costs. So what we're seeing in the transatlantic region, in Western Europe and the United States, is the same pattern that as a result of outsourcing, globalization, the World Trade Organization rules that were written largely by the two Bush administrations, Clinton and Obama, you know, the last four presidents before Trump, destroyed manufacturing in the United States. We're still down 6 million manufacturing jobs compared to 2001. So that's why GDP isn't moving. So we have some work to do. Trump has tried to address it, but I think he made his priority straightening out some of these strategic issues. And because of Russiagate, he really wasn't able to make progress with Russia. With China, you know, I'm moderately hopeful that he's going to get a breakthrough with China because both the U.S. and China know they need each other. He and Xi Jinping have a pretty good relationship, and I think they'll get this trade deal done. That's an important thing that he's trying to do. The North Korea thing is important. Getting U.S. out of these wars, which, as he pointed out repeatedly, cost trillions of dollars and had a negative effect on the United States and the countries where we went. So he's tried to do those things, but he's, in many ways, his signature accomplishment on the economy, the one thing that he did that was good was attack these free trade agreements. But I think the tax cut, the way it was done, only added to the debt problem through the buildup of the stock market with corporations getting their tax money back and using it to buy stock.
Right.
So I think you're absolutely right pointing to this as a potential Achilles heel. The benefit he has is what the Democrats are proposing would make the situation an order of magnitude worse.
Well, as far as the worldwide economy goes, I think China can see the handwriting on the wall. And we're so interconnected, if one trading partner, say the United States, goes down economically, what's that going to do to China? What's that going to do to Europe?
They're export dependent. A lot of the export dependency is the United States. But we're import dependent because we've shut down our manufacturing, so we need China to produce for us.
And for the time being, that's proper leverage to be used. And I'm sure Mr. Trump has used that to the best of his ability. We either make a deal or we're going to both sink.
And I think the sticking point between the U.S. and China is one where the Chinese are right and the U.S. is wrong. We're trying to get China to open their banking system to allow for derivative trading, for more speculation.
They know what's going on. They had a front row seat to it, Arlie.
Well, the Chinese had a big bubble from 2011 to 2014.
Right.
You know what they did? They shut down the banks that speculated. They jailed over 1,000 bankers. I think they shot two or three of those bankers. And they basically said, we're going to have a Glass-Steagall separation. They said commercial banks cannot get involved in the stock market. And they also cut back what was allowed for credit for the individual family, the amount of credit they could be extended by the banking system had to have some relationship to their actual income, which, as we know in the United States, that constraint is gone.
Let's go to the phones here. Tom in Utah. Hello, Tom.
Hi there, John and Harvey. This is Paul Jensen's friend in Utah. The one industry, the brick-and-mortar industry that I wanted you to touch on that seems to be exploding is the prison industry.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
And some of this had to do with Bill Clinton's prison reforms.
Well, CCA, right? Aren't they the major stockholder of Correctional Corporation of America?
Yeah, they're one of the big ones, yeah.
Yeah, I'm dealing face to face with
Bill.
That.
Yeah.
But actually,
I'm dealing face.
If you're from the Salt Lake area, I'm sure you know the other brick-and-mortar industry that's growing out in Utah is the NSA. They just built a huge facility out there to store their metadata that they're collecting on all of us.
Well, isn't that an incestuous marriage between NSA and the criminal system? If we all become criminal,
well,
then...
No, Tom, it would make sense if you understand that the Mormons think they position themselves when this country collapses to take over. So, you know, to them, it's a perfect marriage.
Well, I'm looking for somebody bright enough to do that. And I don't find any too many brilliant people here either.
No, we've lost a lot in this country. We've lost a lot of simple common sense when it comes to economics. And I'm not talking about you don't spend more than you earn. I'm talking about investment. People used to have an idea that you look for something that will increase the ability to make a profit by productivity, by technological advance, by scientific discovery. That's how this country advanced. You know, people like Thomas Edison, you know, people who made discoveries that enabled us to harness the power of nature and use it for the goods that man needs. And instead, we went to this idea that you can make money from money. And that's a corrupting influence. That's been the destruction of nations and empires throughout history. And that's where the loss of real education, you can see in the thinking of people. You know, if people think if they have a cell phone, they have power. If they have a social network, they somehow possess something of value. And, you know, we just see how elusive that is, but also how delusional it is.
Yeah, if you can't grow or produce a potato, you got to steal it.
Pretty much. All right, Tom, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Anyway, thank you.
All right. Let me go to Jim in upstate New York, and I've got upstate New York in capital letters. Is there a reason for that, Jim?
Oh, no, sir.
Okay. I just thought you were trying to separate yourself from New York City.
Oh, absolutely. The secession has to come sooner or later. And, you know, maybe it will. You know, especially after all that abortion issue. But my question is, how do you believe, you know, how do you feel Merkel is still got a stranglehold in Germany?
Not really. The only reason they're keeping her in there is no one else wants the job. You know, the political parties in Germany are collapsing. Their support base is eroding. The so-called marginal parties gained a little bit, but for example, the AfD, the anti-immigration party, which everyone was fearful was going to go over 20% in the European elections, has retreated in the polls. It's down to about 10%. Look, people don't want to vote in Germany. They don't like the political party. So Merkel is sort of a caretaker. The person who replaced her as chairwoman of the CDU has an unpronounceable name. She goes by AKK or Mini Merkel. No one has any confidence in her. So, you know, Germany is in an ungovernable situation. Look at France. Macron, who's the fair-haired boy, the great hero for he and Merkel were going to be the strength of Europe. Macron is down at about 12% in the polls, and the Yellow Vest movement is growing every week. Because he's an idiot.
That's
not just an idiot. He's a banker's boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, correct. Yeah. He's got, you know, psychologically, he's got some issues as well, being associated with a woman that's like twice his age. But that's a, you know, sidebar issue.
Well, you know what was funny?
I was wondering
when Macron and Merkel were at an event in Paris not too long ago. People came up to Macron and said, "Is this your wife?" Because they knew his wife was old.
Oh, Jesus. I love that one. That's a good one. But one other question I'd like to get in. How's the Catholic Party doing? You know, the Bayerische Wald. Are they making any headway?
Which party?
the Catholic, you know, the Catholic Party in Bavaria.
I didn't know there was a Catholic Party in Bavaria.
The Christian Social Union is the
Democrats. That's a proper way to put it. Sorry.
Yeah, they're the Christian Democrats' partner in Bavaria, southern Germany. They're losing votes also. They're in a state of panic as well because they're losing votes. The three major parties that have governed Germany since the post-war period, the Christian Democrats and their alliance with the Christian Socialists, and then the Social Democrats, are at record lows in the polls. And you know what we're seeing is a rebellion against established political parties. This is, John, this is what you and I were talking about in the first hour. The Democratic Party today, I mean, even though the Democratic Party has had problems in the latter part of the 20th century, today it's a complete catastrophe. And the Republican Party, because of neoliberals and neoconservatives, is also not very competent. And Trump is doing what he's doing to try and govern from above it, and it makes it very difficult for him. But I think we have to realize that the establishment parties have completely discredited themselves throughout most of the world, including, look, in Brazil, in Mexico, López Obrador won the election from the outside. And I'll tell you something interesting. You're probably watching this from your perch up in Dallas. López Obrador, who everyone thought would be the anti-Trump, is getting along very well with Donald Trump.
Thank you for your call, Jim. I appreciate it very much. I've been itching to get around to this topic here. We touched on it earlier. Omar's claims about its immense influence by exerting its immense influence. We're talking about AIPAC. We're talking... Yeah. And I find this rather fascinating that somebody has the gall to bring this up. Omar brought this up, the issue about dual citizenship that has been talked a lot about in this country. This is the third rail that you're never supposed to touch in American politics if you want to continue in politics and you want your seat for the next term. You don't ever go against the people in the lobby, the Jewish lobby.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the media in this country filled full of, I don't know, give them a name, liberals, communists, socialists. They were all in for Hillary Clinton. That's why we saw this meltdown after the election results were over. And the anger that that caused and is still causing, it's the anti-Trump people. No matter what, they're going to find a way to impeach this guy. They're spinning wheels here, but they're going to continue to try. Don't you think if they had anything on Donald Trump in the last 3 years that they could have turned something up, Harley? Something?
Oh, sure. Look, the fact is that, and this is something Bill Binney has emphasized, the National Security Agency would have documents, would have an ability to prove something of cyber connection between Trump and Russia if it existed. They don't have it. They were the ones who were less confident in the initial intelligence community report that showed that Russia interfered in the election. So they don't have anything. And you know, I've been writing about this week after week after week, and I do want to offer your listeners, if they want to get a connection to my blog, I'll give them my email address, and you can send me an email, and I'll send you the link to the blog, because I've been writing about this for 2.5 years now. It's harleysch@gmail.com, harleysch@gmail.com. Now, if they had something, they would have produced it. They thought they had something with Manafort. It had nothing. Same thing with Cohen. Nothing.
Same thing with,
McCabe.
Yeah, McCabe. I mean, this...
McCabe admitted it was a coup.
Yeah. But yet the investigation continues.
Yeah.
Well, let's take the 3-minute break. 800-313-9443. Questions for Mr. Schlanger are welcomed. We'll be back in three.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The timidity of some of the politicians in this country. Speaking here specifically about Omar, Congresswoman Omar. Omar's comments have nothing to do with Jews, Judaism, or Jewishness, but the geopolitical entanglements between the U.S. and a nation which currently serves as an outpost for U.S. military agendas in the Middle East. And that was her point. It was about foreign policy. And then all of a sudden, as you pointed out, what does our Congress do? Well, it just whips up a resolution. I have yet to read the resolution. I have to find a good enough copy to... Here is the first part of it. Rejecting anti-Semitism as hateful expression of intolerance that are contradictory to the values that define the people of the United States. Whereas anti-Semitism is the bigotry found by Jewish people simply because they are Jews. Whereas anti-Semitism entails prejudiced attitudes or discriminatory acts toward people who are Jewish on the basis of their identity. And whereas the 2010, the Department of State adopted the working definition of anti-Semitism promulgated by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. This seems to be a knee-jerk reaction by the politician in Washington rather than just leave this go, they've got to, they feel as if they have to react to reinforce the attitude that everybody in this country is anti-Semitic.
I think the what they're really protecting is the importance of the Israel alliance for the neoconservatives. And this is where you see the two parties coming together. And they won't take up the real issue, because the real issue that's raised is, can't we have an open debate? Is Israel really a religious country, or is it a nation? And this is a fight that goes on inside Israel, but we can't have that discussion in the United States. You know, is it anti-Semitic to oppose the policies of Netanyahu? Of course not. And yet that's what they're trying to define with this kind of resolution. And it's just typical. You mentioned it. It's an overreaction, but I think it's going to have a bad blowback for the people who are pushing it. And this is why I think what Ocasio-Cortez said was most interesting. You mean we're not allowed to debate foreign policy anymore?
That's been the one intelligent thing that I've
I think
said.
So. Well, you know what they say, a broken clock is right twice a day.
At least, and I had that thought, and I wasn't going to say it, but I'm glad you did. The fact that, is this the horse before the cart or the cart before the horse? Is it the adventurism in the United States and for what purpose in the Middle East? Or are we just helping out our dear friends and buds over there for the project for the greater Israel?
No, this really doesn't even have anything to do with U.S. national security. This is the result of British geopolitics beginning in the 1880s and 1890s, even before oil was so important. The British had looked at the Middle East as a bridge between Asia, Africa, and Europe. And their view was that they had to keep it divided and separated as a classic imperial policy. And so what do they use? They use religion. They used the tribal splits within Islam. They took a very small population in Israel. I mean, there were, at the time of the Balfour Declaration, there were under 60,000 Jews in Israel. That's in 1918. 60,000 Jews and close to a million Palestinians. So they took a small number of people, and they had from the beginning this idea that they were going to haul the Jews out of Europe and send them to the Middle East, even though most of the Jews of Eastern Europe wanted to come to New York City or Miami Beach. So, you know, they created an artificial operation. But again, it really had very little to do with the Jewish people. It had to do with the needs of the British Empire. And unfortunately, the U.S. policy has been shaped by the City of London, and this gets us back to Russiagate. What is the interest of the United States with Russia? Is it to have a nuclear war? Is it to divide up Europe between East and West? Or is there a basis that we can sit down with the Russians and reach agreements on a number of issues? And Trump said, let's try and find common interests, and where there are common interests, like fighting terrorism, fighting drugs, getting out of these wars, let's work with them. And where there are disagreements, let's talk to them. And this was turned into a criminal act on his part. And it was not even done by the low-level Democrats. It was done by Obama during the campaign, and it was done by the Obama intelligence community using the British material, the Christopher Steele dossier, Sir Richard Dearlove, the same guy who got Bush the dossier that said Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Sir Richard Dearlove, the former head of MI6, whose protege was Christopher Steele. That's why we have Russiagate.
All right, let's take the bottom of the hour break here. I want to get your take on the ADL CEO. When I'm talking about an aggressive pushback, he makes a comment that I want you to hear, Harley, on, we'll review it.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun.
We are back with Harley Schlanger over in Germany. So you don't think that Merkel is going to slide out of there before the end of this year?
Oh, she might. I mean, she's in a very weak position, but her own party is terrified as to what's going to happen. The CSU, the coalition partner, Seehofer, who's the leader from Munich, he's thinking about jumping out of the coalition. And if he did that, the coalition might be too weak to survive. But now he changed his mind because he was told if he goes out, there's no option. Merkel is looking to see a possible alliance with the Greens, the radical anti-people party. So she may survive just because there's no one else to replace her, but she's not very popular.
Well, I don't know how an ex-communist that gets the presidency of Germany could be that popular in the first place. I was starting to think that the Germans collectively have lost their minds. Well,
in many ways they have. Look, in Germany now you have an exit from nuclear power. They're going to try and end all use of coal. And coal is the largest source of electricity production in Germany. And now you have utility rates, very high inflation, and the government is pushing sustainable clean energy, which is basically windmills and solar panels. You see whole sections of the German countryside now with these ugly windmills and solar panels. When we drive through it, my son says, "Look, Papa, stupid windmills." And in order for the windmills to function, they need a huge subsidy. And they still charge too much, and they can't really function as a full grid. Now, at the same time, there's an attack on the auto industry. What's key to German industry? It's auto. It's auto manufacturing. They're now saying you can't drive diesel cars in certain cities. But 6 years ago, they mandated everyone get a diesel car.
Right.
So they're destroying the anti-science environmentalists are destroying the probably one of the strongest per capita economies in the world.
And I've always said that just when you need the cheapest for the leastest, I mean, you need electricity. So how do you go about producing it in the middle of a global economic downturn? And that's putting it kindly. What you don't want to do is invest a lot of money into new technology. What you need is the mostest for the leastest right now.
And new technologies that are not efficient.
Yeah.
Because solar and wind are not efficient energy sources. They still haven't figured out how to transmit the power more than small areas. It's the same problem you have with electric cars. You know, good in principle, but not so good in practice unless you have batteries scattered all over the highways.
Well, that's the same problem that you mentioned Edison before. That's the same problem Edison had with his direct current. You had to have substations every couple of miles. It was actually Tesla and alternating current in his inventiveness that I believe Edison was more of a commercial guy. I want to invent trinkets and products for the market, and he was very good at that. Tesla wasn't interested in wealth. He was interested in seeing his ideas come to fruition.
Yeah.
I want to play this. This is the ADL CEO, and he's talking about using artificial intelligence to prevent hate online. Now, it's recently been discovered that Facebook had absolutely no intention of curtailing what they have been doing with Facebook or Twitter or deplatforming people. They teamed up with Silicon Valley and everything between here and there to curb free speech on these platforms. And Harley, I reminded people that these are privately owned companies. They are private businesses, and they can make up their own rules as to who they're going to allow in and not allow in. On that aspect, I can see why they did what they did. But this is the CEO of the ADL now. And he mentions, I want people to pay attention, George Soros with his Open Society Foundation. Everybody that's anybody that pays attention to this in this country knows exactly who George Soros is. But evidently, the CEO now of the ADL doesn't quite get the message. Here's what he had to say.
We work with Google on using AI to try to interrupt cyber hate before it happens. We work with YouTube to get them to change their algorithms so it lessens the likelihood that a young person's going to run into some of these anti-Semitic conspiratorial videos. Mm. We work with Facebook on trying to use a redirect method so when you search for Holocaust as a hoax, you get directed to like a Yad Vashem page. So there are different ways they can tweak their algorithms and adjust their products so they think not only about free speech, not only protect a user's right to free speech, but protect a user's right to not be harassed or hated. They have done some good things to deal with very specific cases by taking swifter action when people perpetrate online bullying or online harassment. Washington, you know, there's a gap in the legal regime. There are techniques that extremists have used online to terrorize Jews and other people, like doxing and swatting and different forms of cyberbullying that are not covered by existing laws and need to be. Because the school principal says, well, it's not really bullying because no one has a bloody nose, right? But in fact, the abuse online can be far, far worse than anything physical. So, you know, we need legislators to catch up and to fill some of the gaps. It's a remarkable moment that we're in, and anti-Semitism has become so mainstreamed. I mean, we see conspiracy theories like the horrific slander directed against George Soros is a really good example. George Soros is patient zero for the anti-Semites. And what they've done is use social media to normalize this kind of hate in ways that heretofore were impossible to imagine. And so what is so challenging and so paradoxical is we expect our leaders to lead, and yet the president, rather than calling this out, and other political figures too, by the way, because we need leaders to lead on college campuses. We need leaders to lead in all political environments. But using these memes and repeating this rhetoric creates conditions in which anti-Semitism has gone from being a bug in the system to a prevailing part of the social context.
Now, that was given at the Council on Foreign Relations. Your take on that, Harley?
It's hard to know where to start. the defense of Soros I find really quite interesting, because the idea that Soros is a Nazi came from Soros' own admission on 60 Minutes, when he talked about how, in order to survive during the occupation of Hungary, he worked with the Nazis to confiscate goods from Jewish families. And he said it was an exhilarating time in his life. Those were his own words on 60 Minutes. And now when you quote that, you're somehow a conspiracy theorist, anti-Semite. The problem with Soros is not that he's Jewish, it's that he's satanic. Soros' worldview is that he has a right to manipulate currencies to destroy people's well-being, and that he's doing it as part of an open society. My other comment is this idea that in order to have free speech, we have to control what's on the internet. And this is not just from the ADL. This is what we hear from Google, Facebook, everyone else, because they are starting to censor speech quite dramatically, especially anyone who doesn't agree with Russiagate. Now, maybe some of your listeners don't know this, but my organization was targeted extensively by the Anti-Defamation League going back to the late 1970s, where every time LaRouche wrote a paper critical of international banks, of the International Monetary Fund, they said he's really talking about Jews. And the label was presented against LaRouche that if you talk about banks that launder drug money, banks don't have a religion. Maybe the bankers are Jewish, maybe they're Christian. It doesn't matter. We were against drug money laundering. And what they said is that LaRouche is attacking the Jews. If you criticize Begin when he was prime minister of Israel, or Netanyahu, Netanyahu's view of greater Israel, which is that all the land between the Nile and the Tigris-Euphrates is really part of biblical Israel, if you criticize that, you're anti-Semitic. So this is a political weapon that's used to silence free speech. And, you know, I have no use for the ADL. I know they have, I mean, even worse than the ADL is the Southern Poverty, Southern Poverty Law Center in Alabama?
Right.
Yeah. Morris Dees and that crowd. But, you know, this is, what are they reacting to? Why do they call Trump an anti-Semite? Because he talks about a nation state. The idea of a nation is not limited, the idea that Trump has, it's not limited to one group of people. In fact, it's the other side that plays identity politics. Trump's idea of a nation is that we have a common purpose, that above all of our differences, we have a common purpose, and that the government is supposed to act for that common purpose. And instead, we're seeing everything broken down into the smallest identities, neighborhood, religion, family, tribe. That's why the Middle East is a mess, and that's being brought to the United States by the same Democrats we've been talking about.
I did not realize that the ADL was anti-Lyndon LaRouche. In that same time period, I had the opportunity to talk to Abe Foxman, It was a rather strange way. I simply picked up a telephone and dialed, and I got this man on the other end of the line. And what he was doing was writing articles about our network. It was Republic Radio International at the time. And that we were just a bunch of swaggering, toothless, beer-swilling anti-Semites. Yeah. And I called the guy up, and I had a very interesting conversation with him. I said, and he blurted out halfway through this conversation, well, if you think I'm going to stop talking about your anti-Semitism and your network, you're wrong. I said, no, Mr. Foxman. I said, this is not a threat. I didn't call to threaten you or threaten to sue you or anything else. I said, I wish that you keep writing about this network because human beings are one thing and they're curious creatures. No, I want Jews coming over to listen to the programming on this network to finally be educated on the question of the Jews. And I said, no. I'm not calling you to threaten you. I'm not telling you to stop writing about me. I'm encouraging you to write more. Do you know, Harley, after that point in time, the man never wrote another article about the network or myself? Not one.
Well, the one thing they don't want is exposure of how corrupt they were. Foxman was the head of the ADL when they targeted our organization.
Yep.
And I co-authored a book, I believe it was in 1981, called The Ugly Truth About the ADL. And we went through its founding. You know, it was founded supposedly as a Jewish civil rights organization. It was funded by the Jewish organized crime networks in New York City, the Lansky and Bugsy Siegel crowd,
right,
who said that the New York City Police Department investigating so-called Jewish gangsters is anti-Semitic. That's where the ADL got its start.
Mark.
So it predated the creation of Israel.
All right. Mark in Philadelphia. Hello, Mark.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Hello, Harley. I appreciate what you guys are talking about. I'd like to bring up something that maybe you guys are aware of that I just finished watching, and I'm watching it again. It's a documentary that normally if you had to buy it, it'd be like $150, but it's on the internet on YouTube. It's called Europa, The Last Battle. It's 10 parts on YouTube, and it's incredibly revealing. I thought I'd learned a lot about Germany, what really went on, and with the Bolsheviks, communism, and all that. But there was a lot more to learn, and it's exposed in this series called Europa, The Last Battle. It's
Are you aware of that, Harley? Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not familiar with that. I'll see if I can find it.
Well, and yeah, in some downtime that you might have, I've got a bigger. I'm not the teacher, Harley, and you're certainly not my student. And I'm not going to assign homework to you, but there was another series that was done by a guy by the name of Weiss called Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. That was, I think, 11 hours long, and there were things that I learned, historical, true, vettable fact, that just absolutely blew me away. Are you aware of that series as well?
That I've heard of, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, it's interesting. If you think about it, on the internet, there's still quite a bit of opportunity to find inconvenient truths. I mean, even the Oliver Stone interviews with Putin give people a different view of Putin than you get from the American media.
I found them totally riveting. Did you?
Yeah, and this is contemporary history. You know, let me just give you another example of the total corruption. There is one Democratic candidate who's kind of interesting, namely Tulsi Gabbard, the Hawaii congresswoman, the former, I think she's a reserve officer still, served two terms of duty in Iraq, and she's supporting Trump on the withdrawal from Syria and Afghanistan. And she has been absolutely vehement in attacking the Democrats who want to keep troops in Syria and Afghanistan and elsewhere. And she was on MSNBC Morning Joe the other day, and one of their contributors kept saying to her, yes, but our troops are over in Syria fighting Assad. And she said, no, we're not fighting Assad. And the person said, yes, we are. We're fighting Assad, the dirty dictator. And this is on MSNBC. You know, the lies that come out are just incredible. And by the way, for people who don't know this, the European media is as bad or worse. There was recently a story about, I believe it was Die Welt, which is one of the leading newspapers in Germany. The editor admitted that for 15 years he had to clear his stories on the U.S. with a CIA station chief.
It's been going on for a number of years. People do not understand and realize the intelligence agencies in there just to, manage the information. All right, yeah. Thomas in Florida, we'll make you the last call of the day. We'll take a three-minute break. Very happy to have Harley Schlanger on for a couple hours. It's always a pleasure to be able to converse with this man. I'm just sorry you're still in Germany and not over here, Harley.
Yeah.
All right, let's take the break. We'll be back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown.
You know, I just had an interesting thought during the break, Harley. If you watched Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told in Germany, artificial intelligence, would you have the Polizei kicking in your door?
Right.
Thomas in Florida. Hello, Thomas.
Hello.
Hi.
At the cost of sounding too abrupt or whatever you want to call it, it's been noted that basically we discuss all of the symptoms of our problems continuously, and we know them from the past, and we discuss the present problems, and we even project to the future problems we might have, but why is it that we don't do the same thing that they did in the past, basically expel the people that are causing all these problems in our country? I mean, Cynthia McKinney got basically kicked out of office because she revealed the fact that everybody goes to Washington has to sign an oath or a pledge to Israel. And we do have a number of dual Israeli passport holders in our Congress and all throughout the fabric of Washington there. Why don't we do what they did? It worked in the past, I mean, temporarily, obviously, because they came back. They came roaring back, and now they're in the biggest, most powerful country on the globe, which is a victory for them, despite their past defeats and expulsions. Why don't we identify these people and send them away?
Harley?
Well, look, I think the fight is a big one, and I think the biggest problem is that Americans don't know the history, and in particular, this question of the British Empire. And we obviously don't have time to cover it now, but if people want to write to me about this, I'm happy to discuss it. But the British Empire is still the biggest problem we have in this country, as we see from Russiagate. And we have the potential to expose it. Trump should declassify the FISA documents and the role of the British in directing people like McCabe and Comey and Brennan and others. And we could put these people in prison, the people who are doing this. But it's going to require an organization or a mobilization of the American people, because Trump can't do it on his own. And we've got to get behind him on this and expose it. And I'd urge people to send me an email, and I'll get you in touch with my blog, and you can take a look at the articles I've written on who are the criminals who are responsible for these problems. And that email address again is harleysch@gmail.com.
Thomas, my first thought when you asked that question is the reason why it couldn't be accomplished because they have such a lockdown on the political process in this country, the lobbying and everything else, communications. They're very well entrenched.
But the people don't like it. And you see, this is what the Trump election proved. The people can be mobilized to fight it. And I think that's the key thing, is you have to have a clear picture of who the enemy is and what their intent is. And then the other side of it is you need to know what options are available. What could we be doing differently? And that's one of the biggest problems we have. Everyone's stuck in the same, I think Thomas is right about that. We're stuck in the same sense of we can't win, we can't change anything. Let's just go along to get along. And that doesn't work.
Thomas, thanks for your call. That'll do it for us today. Harley, I greatly appreciate you recovering and being on the air with me. Continue to send those stories over, and we'll post them up. We'll give you as much exposure over here as we can. And I appreciate you spending this 2 hours. I know that you're probably pretty tired. It's late at night. So I will sign off by, again, thanking you for your time.
I'm just getting a head start for the morning.
You're just getting a head start for the morning. All righty. Okay, Harley, thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right,
Bye. Sir.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, that'll do it. Back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller. And, folks, we are a network that is in need of financial support from the listeners. Hey, PBS does it. Why not Republic Broadcasting? Only the difference is we're giving you the straight poop. See you tomorrow.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue, and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.